Now, the reason we do this study, it's another one of those that you have to often repeat. And I mean, I'm sure you've noticed it if you pay attention to what faith is. Many Christians, when you hear their definition, it becomes as distorted as we do with love, as we do with patience, as we do with any other foundational thing that God has given us, the things that we must have. But then you hear our definition. How Satan gets us is he either goes after us and we just don't have it. We choose not to love, we choose not to have faith, and that's that one group. But the group that then allows it to be distorted, but they'll think, I still have faith. You know what I mean? Not realizing they're going to be that one that's really in shock when they go, Lord, Lord, because they're convinced because they think, man, what I have, faith. And the way we know it, you'll realize there's certain things you wouldn't dare do, certain things you wouldn't participate in, certain things you wouldn't allow if we truly lived by faith. But we got to know what it is. So we're going to go through this session. We're going to see what the Bible says. Of course, a lot of it's going to come out of Hebrews 11, which is known as the Hall of Faith. It breaks it down, but we're really going to see how faith works in us, what we have to do to show it, you know, just so you understand what faith is, so you stop allowing it to be something else in order for us to allow ourselves to grow in Him, to be as spiritual as we need to be. So Jesus asked the question, I think it was in Luke 18, where he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And when we look around, it's an excellent question because I think we convince ourselves at times of what we want faith to be, but will he find true faith? So let's pay attention. So Hebrews 11, faith is shown when it is representing God through obeying, trusting, or reverence. I could actually stop there if anybody grasps that. You know, if you truly have faith, it's you representing God through obeying, trusting, and reverence. It'll be everything because of Him, based on Him, from Him. Okay? That's going to be your faith. It's really going to show in that. Even that, if I were to stop there, people will still do it their way. I'm doing this for God. Oh, look at him doing God's work. Man, we are loving God. And they'll become some of the biggest hypocrites or the biggest people going, you know, causing more damage, but they have fooled themselves into doing so. So let's pay close attention so we have no excuse and we can make sure we're representing him in the right way. Hebrews 11, we're going to go through some faith highlights. We're going to say a whole lot more about what faith is to look like. So we'll go through them pretty quickly. Well, it doesn't. I don't want to go quickly. We're going to go so we understand it. God created the universe. We saw that in 11:3. He says, by faith, we understand. Now, that's the important part, and I'll explain why. We understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, science is just really struggling with this. We go through Big Bang. We go through, evolution. We go through how things happen. We understand. Now, some Christians probably say to themselves, well, Pastor, no, I don't understand. That's when you're trying to understand with your own understanding. We all know Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not upon your own understanding. But many still go back to their own understanding. So we become what the world is, where, okay, I have an answer here, then it changed tomorrow. And then we only have theorems or theories. You know what I mean? That are educational guesses with proofs. You have proofs with it, but it's still missing stuff. It's the best you can do with what you have. We have faith. So when we offers us the answer, we understand. We look at it and I don't care what a scientist says. I don't care what I think I know. I understand because of my faith. If I don't understand, I'm leaning on something else. Okay, here's another one. Noah builds the ark. Faith, Noah, in verse 7, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, y'all see that? Built an ark to save his family. Now, I know they may argue that's the first time they've seen rain. That's arguable, but you know, we'll go with it. But the thing we do know, he's saying him building this ship is supposed to be something that, you know, I have no idea what I'm doing, what this is. I have no idea what's coming. Probably never seen flooding if there was, you know what I mean? It just didn't see what we assume. And he had to do this for multiple years, But what kept him motivated? Holy fear. Now, Christians have access to that, but you can watch, because if I become depressed, if I become frustrated, when I say frustrated, I'm not saying you're not going to have depressing moments, you're not going to have frustrating moments. It's when that becomes something that defines me. And I know it's easier said than done. And that's why in the world, we work to make us feel instead of us allowing us in our faith to be. That holy fear was only because of faith, because he had nothing else to go by. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever seen somebody that went through something traumatic, and then when they get around that something, you see it affects them, because now it affected their flesh. But when you describe something to somebody, it can only go but so far unless your faith kicks in and go, I'm never doing that because of what that person told me. That means you have faith in that story. You have faith in that person. No, I have faith in God, which made him do exactly what he was supposed to do to build this ship, the ark. Abraham, he had a couple of things in here. That's why he's known as the father of faith. In verse 8, it says, went to an unknown land when commanded. Now, remember I said a lot of people don't know faith. I see people doing stuff that are unknown, and they're saying, I'm stepping out on faith. You are stepping out on faith, but it's the wrong faith. Okay? The only way it's right when you take something and do it unknown is when God is telling you to do it. See, people will do unknown things, say they're stepping out on faith, and then they get frustrated when it doesn't turn out as desired. That's not, none of that's faith. Okay? And that's what I'm hoping you're going to get now, because more and more you're hearing people who do things, and I'm just going to do it trusting in God to, all sounds good, but sometimes we trust in him our way. Just like faith, we do trust not based on him, but based on us. Remember, the difference is if I trust him based on me, that means I have this outcome. So I'm saying he's going to give me this outcome. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, that's a form of when it's on me, because I had to make up something in order knowing and then putting that weight on God that he's going to do it. While truly trusting in him based on him means I'm going to request something, and no matter what he says, I trust him. In fact, I want him to say no when he answers no. That's me truly trusting in him. But slowly we turned it into this, I stand and I believe, and we love to say that because our belief is more in what we're going to get than in him. And he went to this unknown land trusting in God. And what to expect? Nothing. He had no idea, but it was because of God. Now remember, all this is because of God. He just didn't do something. He was daring. You understand that? One of the things people don't realize, a lot of these, what we call successful people that write these books for you to do, they make like 0.000% of the people that have tried what these books are saying to do. But now we don't know that because we end up having faith in them. They're successful. I'm going to do what they did. No, not really. Time and chance plays a part in it. God's will plays a part in it. Your talents play a part in it. There's so many things, but we still go chasing after it because of our desires. But are we doing the same thing that Abraham did and just going to what the Bible was telling us to do, unknowns? Because he said so. It says in verse 11, had a child, even though his wife was barren. You understand? Still went through the process when people say, well, you can't, it's impossible. There's a lot of stuff in each and one of our lives that I know sometimes we just want to, and it's all of us, I can't, I'm done, right? I just feel, I'm tired of this. I don't see what he's doing. And we have that. That's what that is. You know what I mean? It's this concept of I'm at a point where this is impossible, but it was like, okay, yep, we're going to have a child because that was your promise. This was 100 years that he had to wait for this child that was promised to him. Right? But to live with that, you're going to see, because faith is going to be displayed in a certain way. And we'll talk about that later in this study. And the third one we see with him, he was going to sacrifice his only son, even though God said his offspring would come from Isaac. So he was told that this blessing was going to come through him, whom you're going to kill. And he didn't hesitate. Now, I know we read this and we say amen, but we tend to hesitate. Watch how we are in our relationships. Watch how we are, how we treat people. Because remember, the evidence is going to be in the action, as you're going to see later. So person who says they have faith, God allows us to go in any situation you can think of, and how you react will display your faith or lack thereof. Okay? Nobody has to tell you if you have it or not. You'll see it. right? Either we'll follow somebody and make up something, we'll blame it on the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? We'll do stuff out there that has nothing to do with God and realize it was my emotions. It was my intellect. It's where I'm surrounded by and I'm allowing that to influence me. Do you know what I mean? That's why I say one of the biggest dangers when we invented or added community, when we talk about Christians, is we didn't realize we were still adding it as a part of what defines us. While we're supposed to be in a community, but we're not supposed to be of that community. Right? You watch these shows and you watch these things and they'll make the community. That's the community church. And it's called the community church because that church is in this community. And let me show you the community fire station and the community whatever. And you know, they want to go back to a small town where the people define it, not God. And we miss it in the same way because if Abraham allowed whatever, any of those things to come into play, I think any of us, emotion, intellect, what I'm surrounded by, we would go, wait. I went through all of this, 100 years. Now, I'm, you know, and supposedly he was a young teenager by this time, so he wasn't a baby. And he's saying, we would all say, what are you talking about, God? And how do I know that? Because we do it now. We question God all the time. We may not say it out loud, but once again, how we react. And we need each other to encourage, but if I'm too busy questioning God, how am I going to encourage you? And vice versa. Moses chose mistreatment over pleasure. Remember, faith is going to be shown where he's going to put you in a situation. How many of us had opportunities with a desirable outcome? Did you sit down and check it out truly by faith? Something to think about. Did you? And I'm going to say, because desirable outcomes are not wrong. It's did you check it out by faith? He says by faith in verse 24, Moses, who had, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the Pharaoh's daughter, son of Pharaoh's daughter. Better not be known as Pharaoh's daughter, but do you understand that, okay? So he refused to be known as, now, do you know all the benefits that would have brought to him? But there's a godly reason he didn't. There may be other opportunities where it would have fallen into disputable matters or it wouldn't have been wrong at all. You understand that? And they're not even saying it's wrong. They're saying the faith showed, I don't want this benefit to take away from the ministry, take away from my from God's will. And that's what many of us do. We do. So I see people get into relationships and their emotional feelings for that person clouds their faith. Right? Their faith automatically turns into, I'm going to get married and God's going to make it work. That's their faith. So once again, now turns back on them and their desire for this relationship. True faith would go, I'm taking my time and all these other desires I have better get out the way because this is eternal. But we don't do that. We get those feelings. And yes, we're going to work it. And then we don't. And then we allow our emotions and our insight and all that to come into play. And faith is over here somewhere. And sometimes we think, I had faith. Why doesn't this work? Well, because you didn't have faith. Yes, I did. And we'll get angry and not realize, no. See, he chose because he was clearly seeing through faith. It says in verse 25, he chose to be, watch this, mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. There's a lot of Christians today that are doing all they can to have the most desirable outcome for their family. Is that faith? Because a lot of the things they're doing are not godly. They'll say, I'm doing this for protection of my children. I'm doing this for my, you know, my home. I'm doing this for, but was that a faith move or a desired outcome? Right? Money, how we deal with our money, how we deal with other people, some of the things we follow, our politics, are they in line with faith in which I'm really in God's will and can be used by God? Or is it, okay, God, I'm going to serve you, but I got to make sure I'm comfortable. I got to make sure I'm happy. I got to make sure I get mine first. And even to bring that up, if we had the reverence side of it, it would make us go, wow, man, I really need to check it. But a lot of us won't because we're scared that the answer is going to be, yeah, Keith, a lot of that stuff you chose, why have you chosen it? It's a simple thing when you sit down and do it. And I'm not going to lie. Many times when I've done it and I'd had to give up or renounce certain things, it hurt. Man, did it hurt. I didn't want that answer. And I was like, okay, God, give me something to replace it. And he wouldn't because I had something to replace it, which was his faith, the faith I'm having in him. Very important for us to have that. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Mistreated versus enjoy. Think about that. Just like I said, I'll hear people who make decisions. I heard a couple of families say this, but they'll come around and they say, well, I made this decision and it was for the best interest of my family. That was their answer. But the thing that they did, when you heard what they did, not to go deep into it, because these stories come in different forms. I don't want you to just focus on the one story. It was, but the thing you did is not in line with God, clearly. And they'll go, I know, but God will understand. I was doing it for my family. I was doing it for my children. Totally forgetting where he says, if you love your mother or father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your son or daughter, he's not going to have one of those sentimental human moments. He's going to have a reverent, godly moment. He's going to say, so you don't trust me to protect your kids the right way? And you took it upon yourself to disobey me to protect your kids. Is that what you're saying? Not realizing you've put them in more danger. And we do these things because of the lack of faith, which we're going to talk about in this study as well. We see the Israelites and we see supernatural things happen, and they happen because of faith. The Israelites pass through the Red Sea by faith. The people pass through and the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now, easily, we could have looked at that and go, I'm not crossing that because supposedly two walls of water there and, you know, however the setup is. And I'm not saying supposedly it did happen, which had to be terrifying in itself. He had that pillar stopping the Egyptians from coming over until they were done. And like they said, it wasn't that it just came up and there was a bunch of mud. They said dry land, which wouldn't make sense in science. You got what I'm saying? But God, this is God. This is his creation. He can do anything he wants to. And they just went across by faith. Do you understand that? And that same faith is allowing that same thing that they went through to be the thing to defend them against the Egyptians. Do you see how all of this comes together? It's incredible when we look at it because it still speaks of us today. Not me making up something that's fascinating. More people will be caught up in the fascination of the miracle of them going through the Red Sea. That they would put more emphasis on the miracle side and not the message of what it's saying. There was a trust in God to allow them and their families to go across. Now they're protecting their children because they follow what Christ said. But you did have some many times they would go back and look at, let us go back, and the Egyptians at least fed us, and the Egyptians, and we do that same thing today. Think of the decisions we make, how we treat other people. Is it by faith? Or are we adding something else to it? When you're lacking what faith needs, and we're going to talk about that, then it's not faith. You're corrupting it. Okay? And once again, not unlike us, God's not wishy-washy to where he's going to go, well, they try. And we've seen that time after time again. True faith is our justification in God as well as our access to grace. When I really have faith, it's going to be the thing that allows me to be forgiven. If, please understand that, if I don't, I'm just going through the motions. I'm going, and every religion has that. They have faith, but not the faith. Okay? And I know it's not a guessing game. He puts in everybody's heart to access this, but we still allow other things to pull us away. And don't play the victim. Okay, because God allows this avenue to come into play. When we don't, it's because we chose not to. Okay, but if I don't have this faith, I won't be forgiven and I won't have grace. Right? It says in Romans 5, 1 to 2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, y'all see that? See, we think that we're just justified because of what Jesus did. Absolutely. But the only way I can receive it is through faith. I think we tend to miss that in some of our sermons. We show what Jesus did, and isn't that great? And I had to be very careful with this. I was talking to my sister about this, and where there's a lot of what we call emotional, motivational music out there. And I had to really listen through it and understand it, and especially when I was working on this again. I mean, we've done this before, but I always do the sermon, go through any of the studies again. And it really hit me to the fact of, so are then, the wording might be right, but am I missing something, giving the wrong impression? The reason why we have so many people who think, I said a few words, now I'm Christian for life. And you see them get, and they'll cry, and they'll get goosebumps, and they'll feel a certain thing in the song. But what the song is doing is kind of pumping something up, but it's missing something. The song will say something to the effect of, I'm justified because of Christ. Absolutely. But no, you're not if you didn't get it through faith. That's what's missing. And you can tell because those same people will come out of it living their lives without faith. And as Jesus said, am I going to see that faith? Or are you down here just enjoying a lie? Because what Jesus did is not a lie, but if I really believed in it, I'm going to access it. He says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access, watch this, by faith into this grace. Didn't just give us grace. Have you ever noticed? Sometimes we'll sing, sometimes we'll preach, sometimes we'll say to make you feel good, and not saying, but here's the requirement. We are so scared of doing works that we erase the things that we are supposed to do. And he said it right here, gained access, how? By faith. So are you accessing it, or are you just claiming that you accessed it? See, the reverence would make me let me check. But when I don't have reference, I just claim it boldly. That's right, I'm a Christian. Gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So our rejoicing would actually look different than some of the things we see. I know they talk bad about Hillsong, and I see why. At sometimes they can make, good music, and they add the right things, but like when I take pieces and stuff out of it, I have to be careful of, am I really engaging when we're singing to him what he's really telling us? Or am I engaging him and just taking the parts that make me feel good? You get it? Nothing wrong with just worshiping him, but just make sure we don't overdo it, that we're in, that we end up underdoing. And we have to watch that because that's what he said here. Justified through faith, gain access by faith. So is there faith? Can you show that? And understand, you can't just apply faith randomly. You must live it. And this is where people blow it, because we have faith moments, is what we call it, right? And we think those faith moments are then going to justify us being faithful. But we see in this verse, as small as it is, it's very powerful. That shows us that our senses are not part of the equation. This is another faith test that you're going to get throughout your life. So when you get somebody that's confused or somebody that gets lost, time after time, it's usually because they're not doing what this is in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says we live by faith, not by sight. They are living by faith with sight. That means you're that dog chasing his tail. We didn't get offended. I didn't mean to call you dog, but you know what I mean. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Okay? Because you're allowing your sight to still play a part. And how do I know more people are doing that? Look at us participating in worldly things and still calling ourselves Christian. And I don't mean participating with disputable matters. I mean, we're wholeheartedly allowing other things to define us by sight, how things turn out, how things look. Christians are still one of the easiest groups to con because of our sight, which we don't understand is not faith. Right? Sight's going south, faith is going north. You can't go north-south. There's no such thing. You're standing still. But many are. Right? They'll give you, let me tell you what I've seen. Testimonies are outstanding when they're true testimonies. Testimonies would preach God, not some outcome that made you feel good. All right? As we're going to see later, when it talks about how faith works, you'd hear somebody get up and tell you of how they're going through a trial, and people would just start clapping. And you would just rejoice through your trials. Isn't this great? Pray for me, y'all, that I benefit and I grow in this trial I'm going through. That's not what you get. We start singing slow music and the sad music and pray that I get out of this. Makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sight. And that's what we do, don't we? And I know so brother or sister so and such is going through. Instead of, man, bless sister or pray for sister or brother so and such as they go through this thing, because it's going to give them something based on faith. But in order for it to work, my life has to be defined by faith. Has to be defined by faith. Not me saying I have faith, so you can't define if I have faith or not, and not me applying faith where I think it fits, while I live my life based on me. You might as well not have faith at all. Live your life, enjoy yourself. You understand? And we understand that it's the only path for us to be righteous. Okay? And too many self-righteous think they are righteous instead of taking the path to righteousness. When it says in Romans 1, verse 17, it says, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed." Now, so important, because part of that good news is only the righteous are going to heaven. So what's so great about this? None of us are righteous. We all doomed. Even some people miss the entire story where he says all have sinned. Even before people were born, he's like, "I'm just giving you the answer," right? Because we like to think it's because of Adam and Eve, but I was good. And we really think, and a lot of us go with our emotional thinking, but I'm a good person. We know the answers in the Bible, and if we had faith, we would go, "I know I'm not. My life would chill." But if we're being honest, we'll look at some people out there and we're just, right? I'll listen to people, self-righteous people, talk about groups, and the way they talk about that group is very disturbing, because it's not that they're wrong. It's, "How are you talking about that group, Mr. Plank in your eye?" Right? And not talking about you and your group. Explain that to me. Right? If I just get up there and say, "Man, the people that live in that area are the worst people on earth," I could, what I'm saying about them, if I isolated it, is right. But remember, that same measurement, God's like, "So you're righteous?" "Well, no, God, I'm not right." "Then why are you just talking about them?" Right? My faith would immediately convict me. I'm not saying I would not say that they're that way. I would realize we all are that way. And that doesn't mean, because you'll get the other ones who do the other side, "Well, we're all evil." Does that mean you stay evil? Do you pack your bags and go to hell anyway? Because y'all, we're all evil, we're going to hell. No, it's an understanding of what we are, so that when we do say something, it's part of the process with all of us. Not me feeling good as I talk about one group, but my group's just as bad, if not worse. That's what he means when he says the gospel, the good news is there's a righteousness from God is revealed. When somebody brings me and talks to me, and hopefully they do the same thing to you, a term righteousness, I want to hear all godliness, because true righteousness only comes from God. Y'all catch that? And it says a righteousness that is, do y'all see this? By faith. If you don't have faith, I don't care what you're doing, there's no righteousness. That's why two people can do the exact same thing. One is called righteous, the other one's called evil. You're like, how does that work? Well, he just gave you the answer, because the first person did it by faith. The other one did it for some other reason. And this is why, when we get to that verse in Galatians, where it's not what you do, it's the reason you do it. That's faith. And that's significant. That's the foundational to our lives. He says, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is a evident or a part of the verse that gives you the evidence if you're righteous or not. Not Keith does good things. Keith's very nice to everybody. Everybody likes Keith. I've heard nothing right there was righteous. Not one thing. However, everything he does, He does everything he can to make sure it's by the Bible. Ah. Y'all get that? You see the difference, right? You'll be able to display that thing you did, and it'll be consistent with the Word of God. Not a piece of the Word of God. It's going to be with the sound Word of God. We're going to see that too, because there's a term called sound faith in that as well. And when we don't have that, it's deceptive, it's misleading. And those who do that actually head in a deeper part of hell, because they have access to faith, and here they are adding other things to it, and it's really misleading people. So let's understand then what faith is. Faith is in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, this is faith, and as we go deeper, we're talking about the faith. That's the difference maker, because this would go for anything. And what does that mean? In Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. I always use it to say, it is why I believe in God, You understand that? It's why I believe in God. Not because you convinced me. My faith is why I believe in God. And it's my proof he exists. No, I don't want somebody to prove it to me and show it to me. I want to know it through faith. When you live by faith, it'll be certain that we won't have to spend time proving God to you. When I get somebody in that mode, they're not there yet. They have not accepted Christ. They're looking, they want somebody to prove them. And that's where apologists came in and these feel-good churches came in. And then we now have people that day after day try to make God in a certain group. And this is why people will go to some of these, some of the most disturbing groups, because that person will now describe God in a certain way and they accepted that God. And they prove that to them while you ignore everything else. While true faith, and as we're seeing, because this is just describing faith, right? You're basically sure of what you believe and can't nobody get you out of it. That's why our ministry is not convincing. We are not to convince. No, we're to plant seeds. The word is the seed, right? So I'm supposed to describe things using the word. God makes it grow. That's how it's supposed to work. But if I'm one, and I know some people that are excellent at explaining things, and it makes you go, wow, here's the problem. If I go to somebody and I convince them, I convince their flesh, their minds, their feelings. Guess what I have to stick with in order to keep them? You see where I'm coming from? In fact, I'm sure you have faith thing that you probably didn't even think was faith. When it talks about in 1 Peter, when it tells the women about their beauty, it says not talking about the outward beauty, it's talking about that of an inner, of the inner gentle, quiet spirit. He's not saying the outward is not beautiful. He's saying that beauty is stimulating to something that's temporary. And that's our sight. Something that will require it to continue to stimulate. Inner beauty is that where he says is everlasting, right? It's something that's going to continue to exist because that's based on faith. How I see has to be through how God says for me to see. But it's going to compete with how I see you based on how I see you. And this is where we mess up because we allow how we see to get in the way on what he says. And he's going to continue to do that in life. He's going to continue to do things because I grew up in the church that when we seen something that really happened, we rejoiced. But when we seen something, when I say really happened that everybody enjoyed. Some miracle. It was glory to God, but it was always desirable outcome. What was hard, where I would see certain people that would have these desirable outcomes, I would go, why are they so blessed? And that's where we start leaning on, think rich people who are healthy are, and all that. It's not what the Bible said. We never checked with God. It was our interpretation, and we would only rejoice when it seemed like it turned out in a desirable thing. And then we couldn't worship him in the right way. Because I was like, God, why aren't you doing this for me? Well, you really didn't get to know God, and that's going to be a big part of this faith that we have to have. Okay, so that's faith. And that can go for anybody. Now, when we dive into the faith, and we see that true Christian's faith is based on God. That's what makes it the faith. We're going to see later where it says stand firm in the faith. Okay? There's only one faith as far as Christians are concerned. Right? And if I have my faith in anything else, I don't have faith. Mark 11, 22 through 24 says have faith in God. And it's interchangeable, as we're going to see later. He says, have faith in Christ, or Christ says, have faith in me. And we understand this. And then he says, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. We love this, don't we? That's why people, you hear them go, I'm standing believing that I'll receive, because that's all we remember. But it has to have faith. Did you read the rest of this? Do you understand? Because that part is true, but it has other ingredients in order for it to work. He says, have faith in God. And let's break this down, because here's the thing. He says, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Now, some people will say, but then can I go out and do it? He didn't say what ability do you have. He says faith. Now, remember, faith is in God. So the one element for this to happen is if God said, Keith, I need you to walk straight and move that mountain. Now, I know because he told me what to do, I can do it. See how that works? Not me just going out there and doing it. A lot of people think faith means I have these superpowers and I can go out and do whatever. And now we have the Avengers. And, you know, and it isn't, no, that's not what it means. It means we have the ability to do whatever God intends for us to do. Reason why we don't do it is because we don't have faith in it. I had so many people who would give me advice when the church started on what to do, but it was always these worldly, and this is why you see more and more churches forming into worldly organizations, businesses, if you will, because they have a return on investment. What that means is, I did this and let me show you what we did. But that's not how church is supposed to work in church or even in your spiritual life. That's not it. It's fully based on what he says, right? Keith, are you doing what he says? Yes, that's faith. And that's how it's going to show. Not me getting caught up in what I want and what I think it's supposed to. So then you'll go through this realizing if I have to do something that seems impossible because he told me to do it, I can. See how that works, okay? So I can do this. And then I can get down to that prayer, right? Because I'll know how to pray. I'll know what to pray for. We're going to talk about that later as well. But if I don't know this, I'm going to be that group that only remembers, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. I know too many people that are heartbroken because that's not the case when they just have that by itself, because that's not what God said. You understand? And this is not him saying something to entice us or to confuse us. No. True reverence is, what did he say? Right? What did he say? It's like me saying to my grandkids, I'm going to give you $100 if you go out there and rake the entire yard. They go and say, Pop-Pop said he's going to give us $1 million. Are they right? In the worldly way, yeah, because that is what I said. But it was taken out of context. It's if they go out and they rake the entire yard, right? That's $1,100,000. Y'all know what I meant. But do y'all see where I'm going with this? But that's what we do with God. We pick the part of getting this. It's like that verse where it tells us, you know what I mean? If you rejoice in the Lord or something in the Lord, if you make sure you're putting your life for him, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But time after time, I've heard people come and say, didn't he say he'll give me desires of my heart? But why is that the only thing you remember? And you don't remember the requirement. You don't remember the thing that's required because we don't want to. That's not faith. Hopefully you're grasping it. Very important. You see, when he says faith in God means on God's terms. Not believing he'll do what you want, believing he'll do what is right, because he is right. He is truth. He is all of that. James 4, 2 through 3 says, you want something, but you don't get it. Okay? You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. And remember, the kill and covet, because remember, killing, murder, comes from hate. We hate people to get what we want. Very much so happening today, aren't we? There's people we are hating because I'm not getting what I desire. We're coveting. In other words, we're allowing other things in our lives to be motivation. Remember that simple thing, like I said, I moved to this place. I did certain things in this place. I made boundaries in this place to protect my family. That's coveting. I'm going to think of a way that I like protection by doing something that I think that I have access to keep you out, not for you to have, not for you to protect my family. Where in the Bible does it say that? But pastor, isn't that being wise? It can be, but I never heard the God part in there at all. You'll throw in, I'll pray for them while I kill and I covet to protect the way I want to. Did we ever realize that? He says, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. So these are other things you see us do. We get angry at them. We fuss with people. Christians aren't supposed to be quarreling. We're not supposed to be fighting. The minute you participate, you're wrong. I don't care if they started it. I don't care if the stuff they're saying is wrong. You're wrong. Right? I told you I got in one of the arguments with my brother, and I allowed myself, I was wrong, 100% wrong. I don't care if somebody pieced in and said, no, pastor, you were saying, wrong. Shouldn't have been an argument. He says, Now watch this. You do not have because you do not ask God. Now some say, well, I pray for it all the time. Ah, if you had faith, you'd understand what this means. How did you ask God? We did a whole sermon on prayer's answer, which showing the Bible showed us how to ask God. And hopefully sometimes you look and go, you know what? I never really asked God. When you ask, you do not receive, watch this, because you ask with wrong motives. Do we understand what that means? And when he says that you may spend what you get on your pleasures, many of us will go, that's why I asked you for it. Right? If you remember when we did, and we'll stop here, we just did Warning to the Rich, where he says in 1 Timothy 6, he gives us everything for our enjoyment. If you didn't hear it through faith, you heard, so he wants me to enjoy myself. Those who heard it through faith means what he gives me is the capacity of I can, that's enjoyment. That's all I need. And then I use the example of the candy. You know, my mom, if she gave me two pieces of candy, it should have been thank you. It's all I need. Probably even one. While I'm sitting there going, well, why can't I have a bag? I don't think anybody else likes those. I want them all now. But you see, that's how we do it, because it goes from desire instead of having faith. She's my mom. She's looking out for me. She's giving me something I can enjoy, but not overdoing. It was just that was the way faith works with God. If he gives me what he gives me to enjoy, enjoy, not complain because I don't have. Questions? Questions? Either this is very clear up to this point, or you guys are stumped. You're like, what the heck is he talking about? But it could happen. So either which way. And that's what, don't feel bad. I'm teasing y'all. If you don't have questions, you don't. But it's important for us to have this faith, and that's why we're going through it. So I mean, if we have no questions, I can go ahead and pray out, but y'all gotta let me know.
I don't have any questions, Pastor.
That's all right, sis.
Thank you.
I won't make you stand in the corner today.
Thank you.
But next week. No, I'm sorry. But we're good.
I'll get you later.
Okay. All right. You'll pay me back later for your question today. Okay. Nah, that's cool. That's all right. All right. So please make sure, especially on this, check me on this, because this is the thing that guides us to everything we do in our walk. Okay. You have to have faith, and you have to have the correct faith, and stop making up what faith is. Stop allowing that to happen, because we're doing a lot of stuff in the name of faith, and it's not faith. And hopefully you'll see that as we go through this study. All right. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and pray out. All right. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we come to you, dear Lord, and want to make sure every aspect of our lives is being led by the faith we have in you, and that it shows in how we live, dear Lord, that we're depending on you and we're trusting in you, even though it may not feel good, because as your word shows us over and over again, the feeling can be deceptive. Our flesh is deceptive. It was never meant to be the guide or the lead in us, dear Lord. It's always been your word. So help us to encourage each other with that, to grow in that, to live in that, and not to be misled. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for your mercy and for your grace, even offering us this access that we, through faith, can have. The benefits of your mercy and the benefits of your grace. We want to pray for all of those who are struggling. Pray for this time, dear Lord, that we're taking it serious, knowing that the time is short, and every aspect of our ministry of life, that we're making sure that is the foundation of every decision we make and every place we're at, that we're planting seeds each and every moment of our lives and not getting caught up with the everyday temporary, but always looking at eternity. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.
Amen, Pastor.
All right. Love you, family.
Love you, too.
Good night.